because we're in church. And Scripture is our link to God. It's one of the things that helps us build our relationship and keeps us tethered to God, to Jesus, and to His Word. We're reading out of Matthew 13, 1 through 9. In your Pew Bibles, that's on page 1516, if you'd like to join me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came by and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let them hear. Bless the reading of this word.
A week ago, the elders and the deacons and the staff were at a retreat, and we missed being with you, although we heard, and I watched actually the message online or from a DVD, when Pastor Chris Chase was preaching to you and speaking to you, and what a fine preacher he is, right? He's good. We were up in Danville at a Catholic retreat place called San Damiano. And it was an incredible leadership retreat where the theme of it was listening. And we were doing all sorts of exercises and having experiences.
Okay, here we go. Sorry for the mishaps. Jesus, in each of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it begins with some stories about the about his birth, usually, and about the Sermon on the Mount and some other lessons that are important. But then when it comes to the teaching part, each of those three Gospels launch into this one parable. And the reason is because Jesus mentions later, he says, if you don't understand this parable, if you don't get this lesson, how are you going to understand all the others? This parable is that important. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you would give us the ears to hear this parable, which talks about hearing and listening. There was, on the retreat, I want to tell you a couple of incidences. We had a guest speaker named Dan Prout, who has been here on several occasions. Dan is probably one of the finest Christian men I've known, and Judy and I have known him for decades. And he was talking to us about Jesus' prayer life, and then he was talking about Moses' life of submission and listening to God. And there came a time when, as he was giving these lessons, that each of us felt the Spirit of God coming. And towards the end of the second lesson, the Spirit was upon us in such a strong fashion that 24 people who were in attendance got out of their chairs and laid prostrate on the floor. And it would be interesting for you to know what led up to that. Dan was speaking, and he had just finished a second lesson, and then he turned to me and he said, Pastor Toby, you can pick it up from here. Well, actually, I didn't know where to go. it was one of those kind of things where I said to myself, wonder what we're supposed to do now. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, tell them of the history of this church. And I started and I said, somehow or another, we have lost 1,000 people, precious people, over the last 20 years. I said, there has been some corporate sin that we have done that that God has removed the blessing. It was just very short like that. And that was all the insight I had to say. And one of the elders, Elder David Stearns, raised up his hand and he says, I know what it is. He named it. And that was all I had to say. It was less than a minute. And then I turned back to Dan and I say, all right, you take it from here. And Dan then said, we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to admit what we have done. And as was the example that was given to us in the prior lesson, he was talking about Moses. He said, you know, Moses and Aaron laid on the ground and they cried out to God. And he said, let's do the same. And each of us felt prompted actually to lay on the ground, on the carpet, and begin to confess sins, both personal sins and corporate sins that we had, the Spirit laid upon us. And it was such an impressive experience that it's not something that you can program. It's not anything that you can plan for. But the Spirit came upon the leadership of this church to confess their sins. And I have to tell you that I was among them, and I was thinking, I wish the people could be here and watch this, see this. They too would get out of their chairs along with the rest of us and join us on the carpet. And it was this lesson to me in backing away from that in the days since that retreat. It was this lesson of listening to the Spirit of God and what the Spirit has to say to us. It is something that we can never learn enough of, and we have to keep on repeating this lesson of learning from the Scripture and modeling what Moses and Jesus did in their prayer lives and in their leadership lessons, that I want to share with you this insight, that if you want to have this vital connection with God, you and I have to listen to the Spirit of God. So, knowing what I was going to be speaking about this week I was particularly attentive to this whole subject of listening, and it happens to be part of the small group experience that we're going through, each of the groups, which is talking about listening, love, and repeat. So this week, let me tell you what I spotted in terms of listening. I was, we had, I think Rebecca, wherever she was over at dinner on a Tuesday night, I think it was. I walked her to her car, and in walking back, she doesn't know this, in walking back, there was a woman who was standing in the sidewalk on my way back to the home, and I felt prompted to ask her, I said, are you okay? Because she was just sort of standing there. This is the kind of sidewalk where you don't just stand there. You walk purposely on that sidewalk. And she said, yes, I'm here by myself. I don't know where I'm going. And I looked in her eyes, and sure enough, you could tell she was confused. And I said, what can I do to help you? And she said, well, I'm homeless, and I don't know where to go. And I was thinking, darn. Here's a woman, and she was a fairly good-looking woman, and it turns out she was a prostitute. And I read through this pretty quickly. I was thinking, yeah, here it is, a Presbyterian minister out in public with a prostitute. And she said, I don't have any place to stay. And I was thinking to myself, fat chance I'm going to bring her home. I don't know. Judy, was that the right thing? Don't bring her home. And let me tell you the mistake I made. I couldn't bring her home. That just wasn't going to work. I could have given her some money. I had some money in my pocket. I could have done that. I said, where do you need to go now? What do you need to do to take care of yourself? And she says, well, I need to go back to my AA group. I said, good. When does that happen? 6:30. And that was just about a half hour from then. And I said, okay, you need to go there, and you're going to get help there. I said, what I can do right for you right now is to offer you some prayer. Put out your hand. I put it out flat like that, and she put it on top. And I said, Lord, I'm asking that you would help this child of yours, this daughter of yours, this special woman whom you have created, that you would take care of her tonight. And even as I was saying that, I was feeling guilty that I wasn't going to be doing something to help her. But I did pray, and she was very grateful for that, and then we both went our separate ways. Another occasion that I saw this last week was one that I did get right. I was with a police officer, a great, great guy. He's been an officer for several years, and I was riding with him, and he said, he gave a telltale sign. I asked him the question. I said, so what's happening with your family these days? Gave a sigh, okay? I've taught you before. When you hear someone give a sigh, that's an area of distress and despair that they have, and you need to explore that. You need to step in and say, tell me more. And he did. He says, I'm about ready to leave my wife. Now, this is a Christian man, Christian officer, who is well known in the department for being a Christian man. And it just wouldn't work for him to separate from his wife and to continue trying to speak to the other officers about coming to the Lord. And so as he was talking about the distress that's going on in his marriage, the Spirit, I said, Lord, help me to listen to him. And we talked, and I said, let's just say his name is Daryl, okay? It wasn't Daryl, but I needed a name. I said, Daryl, you're a Christian man. You're a follower of Christ. What is the Spirit saying to you? And he says, I am so unhappy that I just want to get out of the pain that I'm in. And I made the comment, I said, you know, your wife is not the problem. And she was doing something that would be very aggravating. I said, but listen, your wife is not the problem. What's happening is that your wife is revealing something inside of you, and you're not responding well. You don't know how to handle it. And we went on with some further discussion. There was another incident where I was talking to one of the elders, and the elder was talking about a situation, and darn, I wish I wouldn't have even introduce us. Let me give another illustration. I was with my son here about a week ago, a little over that, and his family is going through some stresses. He's got some kids, two kids that are grade school and coming up to preteen. The hormones are just you know, going off in all sorts of directions. And he's trying to ride herd over this, and he's having all sorts of stresses himself at work. And I said, son, you need to listen to your son who's trying to tell you something. His misbehavior is just a manifestation of something that's not working inside. And because he's such a young boy, he doesn't know how to handle or cope with it. So listen to your son. And being a grandfather who should stay out of it, I can't help it. I said, when your son is misbehaving and having some difficulties, I want you to play the tape back just before what's leading up to the sideways behavior that he's going through. I want you to listen as if his behavior was trying to speak for something going on inside his life. Sometimes we don't have to actually have someone tell us what's going on inside. Their behavior is giving some manifestation. And I said, here's what I suspect is happening. He's being coerced to obey, and he's not ready yet to do that inside of himself. That you're not allowing him to speak and share what's going on inside of his life. Somehow I know that you're cutting off communication, and so now he doesn't have any other tool but to act out. Then he came back to me and he said, you know, Dad, I started listening to my son, and you're right, I have been cutting him off so that he couldn't speak because I didn't want to listen to him. I didn't want to hear what he was saying. So I noticed something that happened in his son. His son had a manifestation of stuttering. He would say, and then he would venture the sentence. And what he was doing in his stuttering was trying to say that it was not safe for him to talk, and so he would stutter the first few syllables to see if it was safe to speak. And he said, usually, prior to this, weeks ago, we would cut him off so that he couldn't speak, and then he had to speak through his behavior. Well, those illustrations are trying to point out this. That God speaks to us on a regular basis. David wrote in the Psalms that God has a multitude of thoughts for each of us. And that those thoughts are pertaining to something that God wants to say to you and to me. Not just me as a minister, but to each of the followers of God. God is continually giving you and me messages. But we don't have ears to hear anymore. Thoreau had this comment. He said that humans live a life back in those days of quiet desperation. I notice that if Thoreau were alive today, he would probably say that we live lives of quiet distraction. I was with Judy at a dinner table the other night, and I was looking around at people at the restaurant, and well over half of them were on their cell phones. You know, not necessarily talking, but they were texting out messages. They weren't talking to each other. They weren't listening to each other. And what I'm afraid of is that we as a nation are becoming a people who don't listen to each other. And how does that work? The only thing we can then do is ratchet up what we're trying to say and yell louder to try to penetrate what we're trying to say to other people. And to me, that was just symptomatic of something that we're losing as Americans. And that is the ability to listen not only to each other, but especially to God. So in this next week, here's what's going to happen. Because of this lesson, God is going to be giving you and me several examples where it becomes necessary for you and me to be alert, to listen to what someone else is saying, or even listen to specifically to what God is saying to you and me. Lord, I'm asking that you would give to us this spiritual discipline of listening to each other, listening for the human cry in other people, because you're speaking to us through them. Not necessarily that we have to obey, but we do have to listen and then discern what is appropriate action. Lord, help us to listen. I'm asking that you would especially help us to hear the human cry, the anxieties, the fears of other people, so that we can hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.